Once again, our sovereign God does all things well. And our sovereign God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said in John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The reality is, of course, that there is just one source of light in this world, and it doesn't come from inside of men. All the light we have in this world comes from outside of us. People might say, well, what about those little bugs that can light up things? Well, where do they get their life from, and where do they get their energy from? They got it from the light that comes from out without us. And, of course, the light in the scriptures is a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of the fact that we need to be illuminated by God, and unless there is an illumination from God, unless God shines a light in our hearts, shines to give a light, give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go on in darkness. So we come before our God continually when we are made more aware of his absolute sovereignty and rule over all things. It's a cause for God's people for more fervent prayer, because if something spiritually good is going to happen, it's going to happen in response to light. He is the light of the world. The Old Testament finished with those words in Malachi chapter 4. That to them that fear his name, the Son of Righteousness will appear with healing. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And the ewe shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. There is a promise of light. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Luke chapter 2, we see that the glory of God shone from heaven. The Shekinah glory of God, that Shekinah glory of God which was in the temple in the old days, before those events that we read about in Micah chapter 4 and 5, that Shekinah glory was missing from that temple that Herod had so magnificently built and the men had put back together again. There is, in him, we see light. He lightens the darkness of his people. The first words of the scriptures from our God are, let there be light. Let there be light. And it's a simple, wonderful declaration of the sovereignty of God. It says, light be, and light was. And the sun and the moon and the stars weren't created until much later. He's talking about spiritual light. He's talking about spiritual light. And you might recall on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus Christ, humanity, the veil of humanity, was just opened to those few select people for that very brief time. And what happened? What happened? What did they see? They saw a shining God. They saw an illuminating God. They saw a God who came as the others spoke, as Moses and Elijah spoke to him. They spoke of a sovereign God. They spoke about what? They spoke about the decease, his exodus, his death, that he would accomplish. This sovereign king came to accomplish that. He makes things manifest. When things are made manifest, as it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, all of those men saw was the reality of who he was. If we pull the curtains down here and we can't see the mountains and the trees behind us, pulling up the curtains doesn't create the mountains and the trees. Pulling up the curtain is revealing them. And in the preaching of the gospel, we pray that our great God, who dwells in unapproachable light, as 1 Timothy 6 says, he dwells in that extraordinary light, might be revealed to us. So there is no light in man by nature. All men died. All men died, and they live in darkness. And they live in darkness until a light from heaven comes. A light from God. And the light from God reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling the Scriptures. A light must shine on the Scriptures for you to see them. The Holy Spirit must take those words that he has penned and cause them to be spirit and life to you. And he puts in the hearts of all of his people, like Bartimaeus, I just want to see. I'm blind and I want to see. I'm blind and I want to see. So in his light and by his light, in the presence of his light, we see the glory of our God. So I want us to see that it was a light. In verse 2 of our text in Matthew 3, saying, they came and they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. They saw in that eastern land, we don't know where, and we don't need to know where. All we know is that they came from a far country, and they came from the east, and they've come to worship him. See, the light that God brings is always a particular light, and it's a peculiar light, and it's a personal light. As I said in Luke chapter 2, the glory of God shone around them. Our God, Emmanuel, God with us, came. He came from heaven to earth. It's a particular light, particular light from heaven. Do you see what they say? We, verse 2, we have seen his star in the east. That's what Zechariah promised, isn't it? The day star from on high will come. See, it's a personal light. It's a particular light and it's a personal light. We've come to see his star. We've come from the east. We've come from the rising. We've come from when it rose. We've come to see his rising. We've come to worship him. And we've come to worship him with gifts for a king. This one who was born King of the Jews. We spoke about that earlier. He was a king before he came. That wonderful verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He sent. See, he was a son before he came. The Christ was the king before he came. For God so loved the world. This is the way God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not, believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, John 3:19, that light is come into the world. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness. When you were walking in darkness, were you troubled by it? Or were you like me? You loved it. You loved it. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. It's exactly what we read in Micah, isn't it? That God does these works. He will rejoice in the work of his hands. God will cause this to happen. A light. There has to be a light from heaven. There has to be a particular and a peculiar light. And there has to be a personal light. These men came seeking He that is born King of the Jews. King of the Jews. See, only these three, these men came. We don't know that there were three. We have no idea. All they did was brought three sets of gifts, which are emblematic of the Lord Jesus Christ in his deity and emblematic of the Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings on Calvary's tree. That's where he reigns as a king. He reigned as a king on the cross. He reigned as a king over Satan and over the sins of his people on the cross. See, only these men were guided by the light. And they were guided by a light, and it's remarkable, isn't it? They were guided by a light, and they come to Jerusalem. They've come to Jerusalem. And when, verse 3, and when Herod had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And so this was a public event. The Lord Jesus Christ may well have been 18 months old at this stage. We'll see that later on, when Herod killed all the children 2 years and younger. But all Jerusalem was troubled by these things. All Jerusalem, this is a public, the Lord's activities are public manifestations of who he is. They're all troubled. They're all troubled. But they had no light from God to go to where they knew this king was. Only these wise men were moved to come and worship. And only these men were guided by the light to Bethlehem's child. Just like Paul, you might recall, on the road to Damascus. It was only Paul who saw the glory of that light. And Paul was blinded by that light. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory on the Damascus road. The others heard a voice and they saw no man. But Paul did. So when the light comes, the light is particular. And the light is a peculiar light. And the light is a personal light. And the light is a purposeful light. You see what this light had done, this light from heaven, this star, it had directed these particular people to that particular city, Jerusalem, where they would hear about where this particular son was born, this one born King of the Jews. This light guided these men from the east of Jerusalem. And then in Jerusalem, this light, having heard from these men where this child must be born, the king must be born in Bethlehem, it guided them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And look how purposeful and particular it is. And in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The Lord has his witnesses in places, but Jerusalem is a picture of darkness in that world. It's a picture of the darkness of religion, when the light of God has been withheld from those people. And there were people in there, Simeon. Maybe a year or so before this, Simeon had held that little baby in his arms. He'd held that baby in his arms and he says, now I've seen God's salvation. I've seen God's, I've seen the Saviour. I can go in peace now. If you've seen the Saviour, you can go in peace. You can go in peace into this world. You can go in peace into the next one. You can go in peace. I've seen your salvation. What did he see? He saw a baby. He just saw a baby. This star, this light from heaven, directed these men to Bethlehem, and it stood above where he was. And we've got to get rid of, out of our minds, all the notions that we have of these things from all the pictures that religion has presented for all this time. The Lord Jesus Christ may well have been 18 months old. Herod killed all the babies 2 years and younger. It was a young child they went to see. What did he look like? He looked like any other young child. He may have been an 18-month-old child just running around like any other child. What did he look like when he preached? He was just a man, brothers and sisters. You see, from a human perspective, and from an earthly perspective, no one sees any glory in him. No matter how much evidence that they might have laid out before them, they see no glory in him. They see no desire to come and see him. There's not a record of anyone going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. These priests knew he was there, knew he was born there. They said this is where he's to be born. They knew from their calendars that Daniel had given them that this was the time he was to come. They were excited and expecting he was to come. And yet they stayed in Jerusalem. All of them stayed in Jerusalem. There's not a single record of any of them going there. Why? Because they had no light from heaven. These men came, they were guided to Jerusalem. They were guided to a particular person, a particular child, with a particular mother. And they were guided there to see the scripture fulfilled. See, if you're going to see him in his light, you're going to see him in the light of the scriptures. That's what he did to those men on that road to Emmaus, and he took this Old Testament scriptures and he started in Genesis 1:1. And he preached the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And he proved and he showed them what all the scriptures are about, that the Christ must suffer all of these things and enter into his glory. And he finished with Malachi chapter 4. And he showed them that all of the Old Testament scriptures, what did they say? Their hearts burned within them. And they didn't see him. He seemed on the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, like an ordinary man. And then he sat down in that inn and he broke bread and opened their eyes and they saw him. And immediately they scurried back off to Jerusalem. Why on earth they were going away from Jerusalem when everyone had said he was there? See, when the light comes, there is a purposeful light and a guiding light. And that's what we read in Micah chapter 4, didn't we? And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We'll go to him. So this light is a purposeful light. And this purposeful light reveals the light of the world. This one who is born king, the one who always was king, the one whose origins are eternal, as Micah told them and promised them. This light went before them, and then this light stood still over where that young child was. It stood still there. So the light stands still to shine on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it still shines on him. All the glory of heaven's light shines on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ reflects back to that extraordinary place where the saints of God are. And it's exactly the same in the new creation. There's no need for the sun or the moon. The light of the glory of God will shine upon them, and every look of every glance and every thought that we'll ever have in all of eternity will be of him in his glory. We'll see our brothers and sisters in Christ and we'll be amazed. We'll be amazed at how glorious they are when they're robed in his righteousness and his light shines upon them. That was the high priest when he came out after finishing that remarkable work, isn't he? Lord, lift up your countenance upon us. Lift up your face. Show us who you are. When sin's put away, when sins put away, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, the forgiveness of sins is not the end of this process of salvation in our understanding. It's the very beginning of it. It's the very beginning of it. We start with all of our sins put away, which is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, behold, believe the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is him. This king's dominion is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Believe the good news. Believe the great news of the scriptures. Believe the great news fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is why, if you turn down to verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Verse 10. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The angels came with rejoicing from heaven over the glory of that child that was born in Bethlehem. These men, drawn by a light from afar, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Has he made you to rejoice? Has he made you to rejoice in who he is? If this particular light shines on this particular Saviour, the light from heaven shines on this Saviour, you'll rejoice. Brothers and sisters, you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice in who he is, and you'll rejoice in the midst of what you are revealed to be. Verse 11, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And what happens when this purposeful light leads you to him? You'll fall down. You'll fall down. You'll cry out like Isaiah did when the glory, the veil of heaven was rent. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in that temple. And he says, woe to me, I'm undone. I'm unravelled as a human being. Isaiah spent the rest of his life rejoicing that he could rejoice because salvation wasn't about him and his goodness. He says, woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's been a priest up to that stage and he would have thought that he had clean lips, but now he's a man of unclean lips. And a live coal comes and it touches him from heaven, doesn't it? Touches his lips. The Lord's taken away your sin, Isaiah. They fell down. They fell down and worshipped him. They fell down. When this purposeful, particular, personal light that shines on this Saviour comes, they'll fall down and worship. See, only the humble worship. Only the humble worship. See, all true worship is in his presence and directed towards him, this one born King of the Jews. And what does it cause people to do? So we're born into this world. Satan said to us, you take and eat. You take and eat and you can have all of these treasures of mine. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil and you'll be able to choose the good over the evil. You won't die, says Satan to us. You'll be as gods. When this light from heaven comes, proud man falls. Proud man, fallen man, falling before him becomes a worshipper. And takers become givers. It's so natural for us, isn't it? The most natural thing for us is to say me, 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 me all the time. Our first cry in this world is me. Our first cry says I'm starving to death unless you feed me. Our first cry is not even telling the truth. Me, me, me. When this light shines on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's rejoicing, there's a humbling, there's a worshipping, and they opened up their treasures. They opened up. All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. Take it and use it for your glory. Takers are made to be givers. When this light comes, this light is a separating light. The light that came in Genesis 1 separated the darkness from the light. This light, this purposeful light, this particular light from heaven, led these people away from Herod and away from the chief priests and away from the scribes and away from all that religious worship in Jerusalem, all that earthly religious worship that exalted men and despised God. It led these men to the real light of the world. It's a separating light, isn't it? The second last of the plagues in Exodus, the second last of those plagues on Pharaoh's land, having had so much evidence and so much witness and so much of his own confession about how wicked he was and how righteous these others, Moses and others, were than God was. That last plague in Exodus 10:21, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, says God to Moses, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that may be felt. A darkness that may be felt. There was 3 days of darkness over the land of Egypt and no one could see another person at all. And yet, where was the light? The light was in the houses. It was in the houses of the children of Israel. You might recall when they were there at the Red Sea, that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire went between Israel and the Egyptians. And for one, it was light. A pillar of light. A light showing God's faithfulness to his promise. You stand still, says Moses. You stand still here. In this situation where everything is impossible, you stand still and you'll see the glory of God. You'll see the faithfulness of God. It was darkness to the Egyptians. So these wise men were guided by the light, guided by this star, into the very presence of God. Herod, the chief priests and the scribes were left in Jerusalem. They were left in their religion. They were left in the darkness of their depravity. Listen to Herod. Listen to Herod's scheming. When Herod, he heard that the king was to be born, the king, one born king of the Jews was to be born in Bethlehem, then verse 7, and then Herod, when he had privately called in the wise men, let's have this little conference here, you guys. Let's have this little conference. He called them in. He didn't want others to know about it. And he inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. What evil there is in the hearts of unregenerate people. What evil there is revealed when the gospel is revealed. What darkness is revealed when the gospel is revealed. The Lord said to those people, if the light you have in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? He knew they'd come from afar to worship. He knew they'd been led by a star. He knew that there was a king. a king, one born king of the Jews. And these men, as we see in verse 12, when this light comes and people are guided by this light into the glory of God, they'll be preserved and protected from joining the enemies of God. They'll be preserved and protected from any danger. This light from heaven is a penetrating light. Of course, these men, when they finally got there, these rejoicing men fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven's light sees all the time. Do you like it that way? Do you like to think that God sees the thoughts and the intents of your heart? I like the fact that God sees everything. I like the fact that it means that I can go to Him and be absolutely honest before Him and simply say, this is what I am. I like the fact that He can see everything. I like the fact that He has seen everything. I like the fact that everything that will happen is seen by Him. That there's nothing hidden from Him. I like the fact that He's made that glorious promise, hasn't He? He purifies the hearts of His people by faith. Purifies their hearts. He cleanses their consciences. When we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, we're washed completely. When we're robed in His righteousness, that's all that God sees. But I see the blood. I'm going to pass over. I'm going to pass over in mercy and justice and love and grace and sovereign provision. Herod thought that he could play games with God. The priest and him were left in their darkness. You see, wise men are led by a light. All wise men do. Wise men come and rejoice in His presence. All wise men do. All wise men fall before His majesty. And as I said earlier, the majesty of that child was only seen through the eyes of faith. The majesty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is only seen as He gives us light to see Him. That's why Simeon was given the eyes of faith to see what was a very ordinary baby and the most extraordinary baby that was ever born. I've seen His salvation. I've seen all of God's salvation, and here it is, all of God's salvation is wrapped up in this 8-day-old baby. When light shines, it shines internally. There's a remarkable verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, that speaks of that light that shines. It says, his prayer is, Paul's prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So you won't have any knowledge of Him unless it's given to you. In revelation, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. When His calls, His people come. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? The children of God are His inheritance. That's what Micah 5 says. It's in His inheritance. It's the purchase of His possession, isn't it? It's what He's redeemed by His own blood. Precious, precious people are the children of God. This light is a prophetic light, isn't it? It reveals the Scripture's truthfulness. You'll go to Bethlehem, and if you go to Bethlehem, you'll see Him, and you'll be guided by that light. You'll see that the scriptures are true, that this Christ is a king. So let's just finish. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, Psalm 24 says. He's the King of glory. He is, as Revelation says, he is that great king that rides out on that great white steed throughout this world. King of kings and Lord of lords is him. He's doing it right now. He changes not. Acts 1 says that he's ascended into glory. Hebrews 1 has one of those most glorious verses in all of the scriptures, isn't it? Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Our God reigns. Our God reigns on a throne. He is a priest as well as a king, and that's why we come to a throne of grace. The Lord drew these wise men from the east. He drew these Gentiles and brought them to himself. And he protected them and he preserved them. And he does exactly the same to all of his people now. He draws them by the light of who he is, the light of the glory of God. And he draws them to himself and he always cares for them. He comes to poor sinners as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He is my rock, the rock of my strength and my refuge. I can hide in him. He's my hiding place, says Psalm 32. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So he reigns in glory to save and to help his flock on this earth. He says in Zephaniah 3, he says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. Are you poor and afflicted? They shall trust in the name of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble. That's why Paul says, he doesn't say, I know what I have believed. He says, I know whom I have believed. Salvation is knowing him. I know he I have believed. He's in this world seeking his own and creating seeking hearts. He says, seek and you shall find. He's made a promise and he causes his people to seek him. Wise men come from a far country. Sin has made us far from God, but a light. The light from heaven draws his people to himself. And they have one desire. Where's the king? Where's the king? And the king says, come. The closing words of this glorious book that we have before us that speaks of him says, let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Come. His call to you, brothers and sisters, is come to him. Come and bring to him all that you are. All your sins, all your backslidings, all your mistakes, all your worries, all your sicknesses, all your responsibilities, all your cares, all your concerns, all of what lies before you now and all of what lies before you in the future. Come to him. What's Peter say? He cares for you. He careth for you. We cast all of them into his arms. Where is he now? These men rejoiced. Psalm 22 says he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. He's here. Never, never to leave you nor forsake you. He's here. Upon that one who is the light of the world, a great darkness of sin and the judgment of God fell, until the wrath of God had expended all of its fury on all of your sins and mine, brothers and sisters in Christ. And God says, it is finished. It is done. our King reigns now in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your light which you shine through your scriptures and through your gospel preached, Heavenly Father, upon your dear and precious Son. And Father, we pray that we might be led again and again back into the presence of our great God. We might come expectant. We might come when we meet him rejoicing, falling down and worshipping and opening up all of our life before him. Heavenly Father, your Son bore our sins in his own body on Calvary's tree, and he's borne them away, and he's made for all of his people his shed blood to be precious, and his broken body to be esteemed amongst us. Heavenly Father, grant us light from heaven to simply trust your Son, to simply see him as he is described in your precious word, Heavenly Father. Enlighten our darkness, Heavenly Father, and reveal your Son. For we pray in his name and for his glory. Amen.